This is Studio Plus 972 with Benji Schulman, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Schulman, and this is Studio Plus 972 on this fabulous winter afternoon here in Johannesburg. Hope that you are doing super well. Whether you're listening to us in Joburg or anywhere around the world, it is fantastic to be with you. And it might be a winter afternoon, but the aloes are red hot and so is the show. And we're looking forward to bringing you a real rip snorter this afternoon. So it's going to be great, and I'm excited to be with you. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things. You heard on the news about water issues. We're going to be chatting a little bit about water and what's happening in the country with regards to that. Also, if you are into gambling, we don't promote that on the show, but apparently you can now take a bet on whether Helen Zille or Frank Chikane is going to win the election. So we're going to be talking about betting beyond the horses. But before we get to all of that, we are going to be doing something a little bit film-related and cinematic. And we're going to be discussing a new, just premiered, a new documentary called Robots. And it's all about the lives of people who stand at the intersections that you and I drive past every single day. And maybe you've wondered, what is the life like of a person like that who actually has to spend all that time sitting by a robot begging for food or money or doing various other things. Some people question if it's about drugs or about all of this other stuff. And so we're going to be talking to a couple of filmmakers who actually went to go out and document a story of one man. His name is Gift. And actually try and do a deep dive into the life of one man by a robot here in Johannesburg. And they've made a very poignant film that really goes beneath the surface of all of that. So that is coming up after the break. By the way, if you want to be part of the discussion, we're always happy to have you. 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. That is the WhatsApp line. You can ask any questions to our band of filmmakers who are in studio and who are going to be chatting to us just after the break. So do stay tuned. I'm Benji Schulman, and this is Chai FM.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Studio Plus 972. I am Benji Schulman. I'm very happy to have in studio the filmmakers of a new film called Robots, which actually just premiered really quite recently. And we're going to find out more about it. Yassin Khan and Kirsten Rose. Yassin is the director, and Kirsten is, he has a fancy title, but I'm told he is the camera guy for us laymen. Guys, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
How's it, Benji?
Thank you very Thanks much for having us, Benji.
That's really, really cool to have you. Yassin, let's start with you. Now, you're not originally from South Africa, and we're going to get into that in a bit. But because the reason I ask to begin with is you called this thing Robots. When did you first learn that South Africans don't refer to traffic lights in any of the normal ways?
Few days maximum. I wouldn't say it didn't take too long.
Okay.
From where I come from, yes, in Sri Lanka, we call it signal light.
Ah, okay, fine. So we're not the only strange ones around us.
No. Yeah. Or signal. We say like turn right at the signal. But no, just a few days. South Africans are very friendly and chatty, so you get to learn a lot within a few sentences.
Absolutely. So, okay, so that's important to know. Now, start us off a little bit on the journey. Like, you're generally a commercial film creator. What decided you to get into the documentary line?
I wouldn't say commercial. I've been working with the development sector.
Okay.
In a way, it's like a bit of a commercial space because there are parameters and objectives into the content that we want to communicate. So I've been working a lot on that. But it did actually opened my eyes and also my skills evolved to sort of telling human stories, really documenting people's lives. It gave me the skills to sit down and just converse with someone and really get deep into this person's life. And it fascinated me. I love it.
And this particular topic, I mean, you know, South Africa has no shortage of difficult questions to answer and big challenges and quirky individuals like you'll see in this film. But what actually got you to this point of like, okay, we're gonna tell a story about a guy on the side of the road?
So when I first arrived in Joburg as a new Joburger, this was one of the first things that I noticed. Mm-hmm. Is at the robots. I've traveled quite a bit in most countries at robots, traffic lights. you see a lot of different things happening, but something that I found very fascinating is the art and the performance that was involved at these robots. And then I was thinking, oh, this is very interesting. I want to know more about it. Around the same time, you know, I became friends with Kirsten and our other colleague, Kopedi. They're like, let's explore. It started off as a very small idea. It also didn't start off as something about telling a personal story, but rather something about telling a more story around an event or something that's happening in a specific location at the robots. But it evolved from there. The more we got to know these characters, these personalities, and the amount of different perspectives that they bought in, it just really evolved into a very personal story. Yeah.
Now that part that you're talking about, the sort of performance aspect that you're talking about, just tell us a little bit more about that, because that's actually kind of key to the character. Well, the person really that you make the documentary around. So help us explain this. It's more than just someone who was asking for money at the side of the road.
Absolutely, it's way more than that. It's actually, at the end of this documentary, what we concluded is that it's an informal economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just someone asking for money. It's not just someone just spending time there. It's an actual economy that comes to life. And I shared a little bit about this at our screening, is that it's amazing because it comes to life for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a minute tops maybe, and they've got a minute to impress you that what they have to offer is worth your ₹2 or, your coins. So, and for me, I felt it was way more than just performing. There's actual livelihoods involved. People actually rely on this gift. Our lead character in this film there's a whole preparation involved. He spends the week crafting, his act, mastering it, practicing, investing on it as well. So I would say it's definitely there's an informal business conversation that's involved there.
Just to give the listeners perspective, so basically what Gift does, he has a few acts, so to speak. The one is that he juggles. That the other one is that he has this thing that makes it kind of look, the way he wears his clothing makes it look like he's someone invisible.
The
headless man. There we go. And what was so interesting for me in the film is when I watched it, I almost thought, if this guy had been in Europe or something like that, he would have been like a busker, which is like part of the culture of Europe, in a square or something. Yes. Someone would be there playing a song or doing something and collecting money that way. And often a bit easier because Joburg, there's not many places where people can walk. So there's no physical interaction. So in some ways, Gift is up against it, not just because of the socioeconomic challenge of the Joburg, but because he's having to, as you say, engage in this with motorists, some of which might be further down the line from the robot. Yes. Some of them might be angry. So it's a very different kind of thing. But essentially, that's what he's doing.
Yes, absolutely. It's in other words, yes, absolutely. That's what he's doing. And it's also very interesting is with robots, the motorists sort of have to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got these lines of cars that he works on, and then he goes the first line. And he explains this, how like his level of energy and motivation changes over time. If you go a few lines of cars and he's not getting anything, that's very demotivating for him.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, if someone gives it to him, he's like energized and he performs. So it's a very interesting dynamic that plays around. And it's very unique to Joburg. I mean, we were in Cape Town last month and they were like, wow, And then I realized we actually didn't see any performers at the robots in Cape Town.
Well, Kirsten, let's bring you in here. I mean, the filming of a thing like this, It must be quite an interesting challenge. Maybe not so much from a technical perspective. I don't. There's no fireworks or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you are dealing with people in a very outside setting. Sometimes you have sort of to recreate scenes and get stuff. So talk to us about some of the film challenges of actually producing it from on the camera side.
So in terms of the filming challenges, because this was actually a run and gun kind of documentary style shooting, mm-hmm. so we relied on our character Gift to guide our story. So wherever Gift goes, we are there. So the only challenges that we had was actually being in the traffic. It's quite dangerous.
I was about to say, like, getting run over might be something of a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. And focusing on the character while cars are, like, zooming past you is quite terrifying.
Right.
But through Gift, it was more a collaboration where we, with our camera, went into his life, and we were almost like a fly on the wall, mm-hmm. certain moments where we just observed his life. Like, I think it's called Verite, where we just record him living, and then certain moments where we'll actually sit down and then do our key interviews from what he did. For example, if he's at the traffic light, we film him, and then after that, we sit down and have a conversation about the moment that he went through the traffic light. Yeah.
I mean, I was going to ask that. It's like, how do you... It's like, here's like random people who like walk up to you at a traffic light and say, listen, yeah. we love your act, we'd like to film you. Like, how does it work to actually get... Because he's not the only character in the film. I mean, I understand that you eventually like sort of honed in on him. But what is the process like to actually convince people that actually, you know, that you're not scary or dangerous or anything like that?
So that was mostly between Yassine and the producer, Kopedi. Mm-hmm. So Gift was our first character that we approached when we went scouting. And we explained to him what we wanted to achieve, and then we walked away. Then we went to other characters, and we like explained the same story. Same, like, we want to make a film about them, about their lives and what they're doing, and understand why they're doing it. And then we explained to them that it's a partnership between us and them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are just as important as like a co-producer, co-director,
mm-hmm.
because they're sharing their stories with us. So if they're allowing us to be in their lives, they are almost opening up and allowing us to almost like go in and explore every aspect of their lives. And I think that all our characters that we interviewed, they were fine with it.
So just going back to the dangerous element, like, yes, I can imagine being run over by the cars must have been, because you're not, like, the intersections that you guys film in is like four ways, Bryanston area, yeah. which are like these big wide roads and, you know, aggressive drivers. You know, anytime you get like north of Bryanston, it becomes a bit hairy. but Gift also doesn't live in places that are formal, shall we say. I mean, that must have been a challenge as well. You're carrying a big expensive camera around, people who are in an informal settlement or something like that.
Yeah, so in terms of where Gift currently lives, so he lives in two different locations.
Mm-hmm.
His home is in Daveyton. That's where his wife lives. It's an informal settlement.
Right.
But then where he lives in Johannesburg is under a bridge in Rivonia.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And he lives in a makeshift plastic shack.
Wow.
Because you mentioned in the documentary that for him to travel back and forth,
mm-hmm.
to Rivonia and to Johannesburg is very costly. So you'd rather sacrifice and live under a bridge in a makeshift tent.
So he's basically, he's a kind of going home on, say, weekends or a couple times a month
every
or something
other weekend,
like that.
Yeah, he goes home.
As a way of saving money.
Yeah.
So
In terms of security, it was a bit scary going into those dodgy areas, but But through gift, I think we feel safe because the community that he lives in, they all know each other.
Mm. Yeah,
they're almost like a compound brotherhood. So
yeah,
I think we were quite safe being with gift.
Absolutely. Okay. And also I think there's a level of blind courage when it comes to documentary. Like at that moment we know we locked in something and it would be almost foolish of us to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanna be there and we wanna like take it all the way. So there were times we were
And we were filming at night till 9 o'clock at night.
So but you never had a problem?
Never, not even one. I think we've been quite blessed and fortunate, and also like Kirsten said, like gift
created gave us a that certain years kind of level of safety.
Yeah, and we had our team as well, so like you know we're together, we are okay.
Strength in numbers.
When Kirsten's filming at the intersections, we would never let him film alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's always someone behind him so that they can spot for him.
Right.
So there's a few of these sort of techniques we used.
To keep safe.
Yeah.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman. And we're talking today to Yasin and Kirsten. They've made a movie called Robots, which goes into the life of someone who is a performer at a robot here in Johannesburg. And we're going to be carrying on talking to them after the break about the film and where it's showing and what has been happening with it here on Chai FM.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and we're chatting today to Yasin Khan and Kirsten Rose, who are filmmakers and have made a recent documentary called Robots about the life of people who are on the street and having to survive. Yasin, I want to ask you, because you, whilst the film is driven at a character level or a first-person level, you do cover, just, I guess, by dint of the fact of where he's living, the social issues that are affecting someone who's living in this environment, health issues, education issues, family issues, gender issues to some extent. And one of them is obviously, for most South Africans, I mean, is the question of getting a job. And I was interested to hear whether, you know, whether GIF that had ever come up with as a discussion, whether getting a job, having a job, is something that he would prefer almost to doing this kind of work, or if it, because some of the other characters in the film actually do get a job at some point. So I was interested in that as a core thing that faces people here in Johannesburg because it's the economic hub.
No, absolutely. Robots is, I always say, it's very much a social commentary on about Joburg. And for gift, when it comes to employment, I think first thing first, anyone who watches the documentary would realize that gift loves what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He loves his job. He feels he's born to do this. And he really takes a lot of pride in his act. So as much as I think we've had conversations with him about employment, about future, you know, and for him, it's what he loves is the act. He's a performer. He loves the art of it. But the location is something that he would be willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I remember I did ask him, like, would you want your children to do this? And he said, maybe at a better place,
mm-hmm.
You know. So it that tells a lot about how he feels about his craft. At the same time, there is the other side of gift, and many people like him who think that, who feel that they've been in an unfortunate situation or disadvantaged situation, that they couldn't be in a better place in life. But it all comes down to the economy of things, and it all comes down to like the livelihood and how much money they can make to provide. But the job itself or what he does, that for him it's a career for him. And he invests a lot of time into it. So it's very interesting because we always sort of go into, when we go into the bottom line, you know, we always talk about the bottom line, about livelihood and like, you know, taking care of yourself,
the
being
the
able
cash.
To. Yeah, the cash. The money. Right? Yeah. And while that matters, the passion, the art, these things are not just for people on the top. Mm-hmm. It's for people on the road, on the streets as well. So that's something that GIF really highlights.
The other thing which I thought was really interesting was also the fact that he has these difficult customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who sit in cars are busy. They want to get where they want to go. They see 100 gifts in a day, potentially. And you know, GIF is, when you watch the documentary, he's a really interesting character because he lives in this kind of crazy reality, but he's always very happy and engaging, which is how he gets the customers. But he gets angry once in the film. and that one book about people in smart cars who like watching his stuff but won't give him any money. And I was just interested if he, how he thinks, you know, how he thinks that motorists should react to him, if you know what I'm trying to say. Because I think for many people, they're not really sure what to do. Do you look ahead? Do you ignore the people? Do you smile? Do you say, look, I don't have anything? What is his relationship with the customers of his art?
I think GIF's whole life, his whole story, this act and performance, it's also connects very much to the heart of Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the heart of South Africans generally. For me, as an outsider who's now been here a few years and find myself calling this home, is something that I've experienced as well. And for GIF's, like, when during my conversations, it's something that comes out a lot, is the resilience and the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, the motorists see 100 GIFs, and GIF sees like 1,000 motorists a day, you know, and they all, there's different types of motorists that he comes across, you know, and there are some who are really kind to him, mm-hmm. who really take care of him, and like, you know, they have a relationship. There are motorists who drive by every day, so they know each other, you know, they say hi and stuff, and then there are some who are not so much. And I think for him, it's not so much about the money as well sometimes. He is a very passionate person, not just about his art, but he's also passionate about human interaction. And he's also very passionate about taking care of each other. And this is something we learned very early on. He's as a person, he's been there doing this for a while, but he's also taught other people to do this. So essentially, he creates competition for himself, you know, by mm-hmm. and he's been in situations where he had to move robots because now, like, someone he taught has taken over, you know.
His act.
His act and his mm-hmm. space and stuff. But also there, it brings in Ubuntu, kindness, and the, all of these sort of facets of GIF is also, which is a major reflection for me of South Africa, Joburg as a whole, in general, actually. So it's very interesting if you look at it in that sense.
If you want to ask any questions on the show today, 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019. We're talking about we're talking about a documentary called Robots, and it has to do with a man at the side of the road who is a fascinating character. Now, Kirsten, I'm as good as you've seen as well, but did you guys, when you started deciding to film this thing, was it like a full-time occupation? Did you do it whenever you, you know, whenever you felt like? How did it work from an actual production perspective, and how long did it take?
Yeah, so in terms of the production, it was mostly on myself, Yasin, in our partner, Kopedi. It was a passion project mm-hmm. led by Yasin. And this project took us about 2.5 years, 3 years to film. Yeah, 3 years, mm. yeah. With lots of back and forth in terms of refining the story. That's why it took so long. But most of the time we filmed it on our, because we have our own other careers, our other income mm-hmm. streams. So this was like on the sideline. So right. when we had extra time, we would go plan a date with Gift, and then we'll just spend the day out with him and, yeah, film him.
Right. So, okay. So that makes sense. Okay. So we have a few messages coming in. So
So someone says to us here, Jenny has messaged in to say, look, they've just tuned in and you know, they're hearing about how a gift gets money. It sounds like the guests are extolling the virtues of being a beggar. And as far as the from Jenny's concerned, there's nothing virtuous about being a beggar. How do you respond to that sort of thing, particularly in a film like this?
I would say, I mean, something we established right from the beginning in this film, the entire narrative and the story and through our lead character, is that what he does is not begging. As for the motorists who drive by, they have a choice. They could give him some money or they don't. And I think the misunderstanding or and we've had a lot of online conversations about this as well, for gift and many like gift, it's not just so much about not giving the money that really hurts them, it's not acknowledging them, you know, not giving them the same respect, you know. And gifts repeats this multiple times. If you I mean, you watched it, where he says, it's okay if you don't give me money, just smile, just like, you know, wave, and that's it. Like, that keeps him going, you
know?
As
a performer,
you know, I mean, yes, there is, as much as we spoke about like how much he loves to do this, and we know, because as a family man, if there's something else he could do, he would. And there are no, while exploring, following his life for 3 years, this is not someone who is lazy or who doesn't want to work, or this is not someone who just wants to like just do this because this is all. This is someone who has a family, who has kids, who works. When he's not performing at the robots, he's actually collecting plastic and recycling. He works hard nonstop, so we know that he's trying hard. So there is also an element of he's there because this is the only thing that he's able to do right now. This is the only opportunity that is he's made for himself. So yeah, I would disagree with the comment, but I also would invite our listener to come and watch the film.
Yeah, get a sense of it. Another listener messaging in saying, you know, how has a gift benefited from since the film has come out? I mean, it's been only a couple months that it's been out. She wanted to know particularly, is there some financial element to it? Also, because I imagine that in a documentary setting, you can't really pay someone like an actor. That would mess up the thing.
No, yeah? Absolutely. We've had this a few times, and something that we always highlight is gift for us was not just a character. In the course of this production, and 3 years is a long time to get to know someone, right? In the course of this production, we became very close to him. Financially, he has not made anything out of this documentary yet, just as much as everyone else involved in this production. We've been trying to push this documentary out for some commercial gains, broadcasting. Unfortunately, the reality is that these kind of stories are not the, you know, the hot content of the day, and there's so much content to sort of fight through. Gift is a beneficiary if this documentary does make money, to be very honest. On the other hand, though, something that we realized is people have gotten to know him a little bit more through this film. People have gotten to see the other side of, like, you know, like we first, when we started this conversation, it's why are they doing this? Is it for drugs or is it for alcohol or like what is it? But now people have a different perspective. So that has helped him. We've had like people sharing, sending us videos on WhatsApp, taking selfies with saying, we just met Gift, gave him some money.
So it's helped raise his profile.
Yeah, exactly. So I think those things do help him. But what we always say is, as the filmmakers, as storytellers, we feel like we've done our job of highlighting a story. And we always leave the call to action on the audience. Now, given we've not had an opportunity to show this to a mass audience, which would really like sort of, you know, bring in the impact that we want Gift to have, but the call to action has always to must be on the audience, because if we put the onus of telling the story and fixing the story on the filmmaker, nobody would want to tell stories, you know.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the reaction that you've had, because you've taken, I mean, you're going to the States pretty soon to show it, which is very cool. But you also haven't taken a sort of traditional route. You've shown it in movie theaters, but you've also had like some community showings, which is very interesting. So tell us about what the reaction has been to the film.
Oh, no, that's been great. And it's coming at a time where, at a time where filmmaking or independent filmmaking is been attacked on. You know, there's a lot of things happening. We have AI, we've got, I don't know, micro dramas and streamers just doing crazy things. So
you guys don't dance in the film, so what's the point, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I won't say that we take an independent route, but sort of rather forced to take an independent route. But in the process, something that I've learned is also like it's very fulfilling. You know, when we took these films to communities and showed it to them, the responses that we had in some who resonated with what Gift was going through, even though they are not a performer, but his sort of situation. Then there's some who like sort of were made aware of like, oh, I never knew about this sort of thing. And we like to see those sort of responses, especially even with youth, speaking of things like unemployment and so on. We also tap into topics of sexual health in this movie. So it's great to see if the gatekeepers of the industry don't allow us to take the films to the community. The current movement, the revolution, I'm like, you know, wishfully saying is for us to take it ourselves, you know.
So what do you do for the community screenings? Do you just like put up a big sheet and a projector? Or how does it work?
It depends on the community.
Exactly,
I mean,
where we at, yeah.
Yeah.
So it all depends, like Yasin said. If the community has a, for example, a school or a hall we can screen at, we're willing to go wherever.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with our own equipment if needs be, our own projector, screen, PA system. But as long as they can give us opportunity to go into a community and share our story for free, we'll go anywhere.
Yeah, and a lot of people at the film actually said, ooh, this is actually something that we should be actually showing to kids to help them understand
absolutely
what other people are actually going through, which I thought is interesting. Like I've had parents tell me that they struggle with this issue of how do I explain to my kid that going to sleep at night in a bed is not something that everyone always gets all the time, you know. So that was very resonant. We're talking today about the movie Robots, which is a documentary. I'm Benji Shulman. This is Chai FM, and we're back. We'll be finding out where you can see the film and get a little bit more information on it. We'll be back just after this.
Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is Studio Plus 972. Talking to Yasin Khan and Kirsten Rose today about their documentary Robots. Now, Yasin, I did promise that we would find out a little bit about your background. You came, I don't know if we have such a big Sri Lankan population here in Johannesburg. So how did you end up in the City of Gold?
I can give a romantic answer saying for love, because I came.
Okay, well, that's a good answer. Yeah. I mean, we'll take that.
Yeah. No, I mean, in a way, yes, because, you know, my wife and I, newly married, and this opportunity came up for to move to South Africa. She works in the advocacy and development sector spaces as well, so we said, okay, why not, let's go. And fortunately, the kind of work that I do, it's easy to work from anywhere, and I'm always chasing new stories, so we took it as an opportunity. When we did move from Sri Lanka, people were surprised we're moving to South Africa because it's not the sought after migration route for most of the people from developing nations. But no, we absolutely love it. I love it here. Joburg is home. for the time being.
And you haven't had any issues with, unfortunately, around xenophobia and all that sort of thing?
So far, no, I have not. A whole other topic to talk about, but I've been most welcomed into spaces, and you know, I've made great friendships and relationships, and you know.
And do you see a lot of parallels between Sri Lanka and like South Africa? Is there similar kinds of challenges, or is it different?
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you one example was load shedding.
Right.
So when we arrived to South Africa, a lot of South Africans always apologize to us about the load shedding. And we're like, oh my God, it must be so bad. I hope you guys are okay. But where we come from, we call it power cuts. And we had, around the same time, we had like 14, 15 hour power cuts as well. So for us, it's just...
You're like, oh, it's much less, more relaxed.
At least we have an app to check here. But yeah, there are a lot of similarities. Like, you know, I think contexts are obviously different, but I did find the people, the mentality and of people is, I was able to easily connect. You know, the resilience, a good time through the bad times sort of attitude is something that we Sri Lankans also sort of resonate a lot.
Now, if people want to go see the film, I mean, you've been playing it at festivals mostly and that sort of thing. So how can people check it out and see it if they want to?
So right now, what we have is sort of independent screenings popping out here and there. And we keep our audiences really informed of this through our social media channels. We do have a screening coming up this Sunday with the Documentary Filmmakers Association. It's called Doc Love. So that's happening at the Bioscope at 2 p.m. this Sunday. Invite everyone to come see it. It's a free screening. And you can find information about how to book your seats and whatnot on our socials. It's at Robots Documentary.
Is that an Instagram handle?
Instagram handle. Yeah, okay. Sorry. It's an Instagram handle at Robots Documentary. Just reach out to us. We'll keep you informed. We are taking a very, very independent, old school route with this film. Also because we have no other choice, but we are sort of owning it and, like, you know, embracing the challenge. So it's very, you know, person to person and like relational. So yeah, upcoming screening is on this Sunday. We've been discussing on going on the road. We've been trying to sort of work out a community screening tour, hopefully start maybe in the state and then go into a nationwide tour if possible. But we are still working out the plans.
Oh, amazing. So if you want to go see the film, or if you have a venue where maybe the film could be, or you're interested in any other aspect, definitely do get in touch. Those details once again? At...
Instagram, at Robots Documentary. You can DM us. You can also DM me. It's at Yas J Khan. We'll anytime reach out to us.
Well, guys, I just want to finish off by saying that we have a message from Bianca here saying, and Renee. Renee says, I wish God can give these gentlemen an abundance of blessings and success. And Renee actually had a whole bunch of other questions which we couldn't get to. Sorry about
Thank
that, Renee.
You, Renee.
And Bianca saying, such a great conversation of the film. It's relatable to the majority of South Africans who know about battling. I respect that what you're doing by using what Hashem has given them. So guys, it sounds like even over the radio, the film is playing very well. So thank you for your time. Thank you for coming in. And best of luck as you roll out the film. It's been really great to have you.
Thank you,
thanks,
Benji.
Thanks, Benji, for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And we just want to tell you how much we appreciate this shout out.
Absolutely. It's been a really, really great interview and a nice one to do. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 High FM. You're listening to Studio Plus 972. And stay listening, because when we come back, I'm going to be talking about how you can bet on whether Helen Zille is going to be the mayor of Johannesburg.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I am Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM. You're listening to Studio Plus 972, and yeah, I hope that you are having a really great day as we go towards a fast day, coming up to the end of a period of mourning in the Jewish calendar, which has traditionally been a difficult time. And as a result of that, we are having less music on the radio station, and it's also given us a chance to try out some interesting a cappella music. So every show during the 3 weeks, I've been trying to find interesting a cappella music, and this one is going to be no exception. So it's actually a bit of a cult classic, so you'll get to hear that as we finish the show in a few minutes. Also, thank you to our lovely listeners who are so nice about our shows and the content that we produce. Thank you guys for always listening in and engaging. We really appreciate that. Especially Bianca, who... Bianca, I always get your name slightly off. I have a relation who's called Bianca. That is why that's sometimes slightly off. So apologies for that, but she sent me a very nice message. So I thank you for that, Bianca. Now, I don't know if... this is not a show that likes to promote bad habits amongst people. I will have let you know that I don't think I've ever actually even bet on the lotto. I never actually have bought a lotto ticket. I will cop to the fact that I may have bet over my life a couple of times on the Durban July, but I wouldn't say I am a gambling man. Maybe the occasional casino visit to play some blackjack, which we play, or poker as a kid. But that's pretty much it. But now gambling is even more fun than you could possibly imagine. And whilst I'm not promoting it, I have to talk about the story, because today, on something called Polymarket, you can now bet on who is going to be the next mayor of Johannesburg. And that's not all. You can bet on who is going to be a congressman in the Senate. You can bet on what Trump is going to say in his next speech. You can bet almost on anything. And instead of sports, which is traditionally where betting is at, you can now bet directly on politics, as well as a whole bunch of other things. And so I've never seen South African content before on the site, something called Polymarket. But what was super interesting is that Frank Shekani, who we spoke about last week as a potential mayoral candidate, he sort of was added recently to, but he hasn't actually been announced yet as the mayor, but he was added to the Polymarket betting system versus Helen Ziller, and he came in pretty low, and somebody put $3,800. So I'm trying to figure out what that is. It's probably close to... we're doing math live on radio, it's bad, but let's call it 70,000 rand, something like that, on a bet for Shekani to win the election. And what's interesting about these Polymarket things is that they are sometimes better than polling itself at predicting what's going to happen. The idea being that if lots and lots and lots of people bet on things, and lots of people have different bits of information, it's what economists call the wisdom of the crowds. And so the crowds are able to kind of figure out what's going on. And by lots and lots of small bets, lots and lots of small decisions, you can actually get sometimes a better result than, say, polling data, where they go and they ask people what they think. Because ultimately, if you're going to put money on something, then you're going to be much more sure of your opinion. And so these things have been fairly accurate, but there have also been some dodgy things that have happened. So one guy was arrested because, of course, this is like a stock market, right? Essentially, the possibility of insider trading is extremely high. And so, for example, one bus driver bet on a match after he drove the team to the thing and saw that the main striker had an ankle injury or something, so then he bets on that. So there's a lot of problems with insider trading, but nonetheless, it is a very interesting and different way in which the world is moving in terms of predictions, including, we'll have to see, whether Frank Shekani does become the mayor. Personally, I hope not. Brings us to the end of the show for today. Hope you're doing super well and enjoyed being with us today. I certainly did. Thank you to everyone who puts the whole thing together. Craig, who pushes all the big red buttons. Vusi on the sound. And to you, dear listener, who joins us every single week. Do join us again next week on the Plus 97 studio. Here's your a cappella song as promised.